There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I just woke up.
Actually, I did. I had a really good nap. I just woke up. We came in here about half an hour ago trying to get the phone to work, and I'm still discombobulated. Yes, that is a word. Go look it up. Discombobulated. Trying to set everything up here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and if you were listening for the last half hour, you got to hear Lou call in. And we're having all kinds of extraordinary problems with our phone, but I think we solved it the old-fashioned way. I just stuck a microphone in front of the speakerphone. That's the way we used to do it. And then the folks over at Liberty Tree Radio... Oh, see, now I'm coming here. You broadcast. Let me stop you. Let me stop you broadcast here because I'm listening to the feedback. Okay, you guys hear them? You guys hear them there? And when we hook it up to the new soundboard, it feeds back and it cancels out the audio and it pops and everything. So we just maybe I should read the manual. I don't know. That might be something to do. But this is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live Monday through Friday on Liberty Tree Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and from 5 to 7 p.m. On UBroadcast, Facebook, MySpace. Let's see. Usually we're coming to you on Channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region of New York. We are on shortwave now, being transmitted around the world as we're getting feedback from New Zealand is the farthest, I think, away that we get. We are also you can pod download. What is it called? Podcasting?
Yes.
I call them my pod people. I love my pod people. Thanks to Olima, who is the official Dutch Jones radio archivist. Boy, my glasses are fogging over. I'm going to take my glasses off. Hang on. Good thing we're not on video. I'm sitting here. Since Friday is pants optional day, I've decided to wear nothing but long johns and a wool cap, and
yes,
it's really
yes,
overheating
right.
me. I need to cool down here. It's been cooler here, but I decided to break out the long johns and the Russian officer's cap and wear that. So you should be glad we don't have video. But we're making this little ministry get out there to everyone. It reaches out across the globe. To all kinds of folks, and we get tons of feedback via our email account. The best way to reach us is actually on Facebook. If you go on Facebook and add me, the pod load. on Facebook, if you just type in Dutch Jones, J-O-E-N-S, and you say, hey, I'm a listener, I'll make you a friend. Even if you're not a listener, I'll make you a friend. So, you know, spread it around. I've only got about 560 people on there, and about 200 of them are constant listeners, either pod people or you know, they come into you broadcast and listen to it. The other way is through the Yahoo account, Dutch Jones Show, Dutch Jones Show at yahoo.com, spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. The phone number to call in here, and we're going to try it again and see if it works. I mean, listen to what it sounds like. See, there it is. And I turn the volume down. What we've done is we've just taken Lewis's mic and shoved it into the phone really hard. Lewis used a rock and just smashed it in. If we don't touch anything, it might work. The contraption isn't doing its job, so we're going the old-fashioned way. So you may have trouble hearing me if you call in, because there's a little itty-bitty speakerphone right here. And so I'll try to speak up or something like that. I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll make it work one way or another. I may have to crack the phone open and solder some stuff, but we'll get it working. So just be doing that. So the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. 8225. Let's see here. I got to get into my Facebook account to get some of the articles that Stacy has been collecting today for me. And, of course, I'll have to put my glasses back on before I do that. But the big news here for me in California was the, what's it called, Los Bruno or
San Bruno,
California, where a supposed 1,000-foot fireball went off in the middle of the night and took out 40 homes, killed unknown number of people because they just can't find them. Cars melted in the middle of the night. And what's funny about it is we just drove through there on Monday, and I was thinking to myself, boy, what a great example of where not to live. There's refineries everywhere, underground pipelines. I mean, just what can come out of left field, even if because I don't necessarily believe what they're saying, that it was just some pipeline. But it could have been a terrorist attack. It could have been, you know, a false flag. But let's say it was just a gas line, just infrastructure gone wrong. It's amazing to me how many people were complaining that they said they smelled natural gas for several weeks and nobody did anything. Those were the early reports, of course. They'll say that never happened, but the early reports I was hearing on the radio is like, oh, yeah, we smelled natural gas for like 2 weeks and nobody did anything. Mm-hmm. Cars were melting while they were being driven. Whole houses just vaporized in the flash of an eye, or blink of an eye in a flash. Well, it would be a flash of an eye. I don't know. I guess if you blink and then there's a bright explosion, that would be the flash of the eye as it melts out of your head. So they're saying now there's, 4 to 7 people dead because there's several people missing. I pray that the number will be low, but it probably won't be. And it was just a middle-class working neighborhood, but they didn't realize or they didn't think about the danger that lurks under the ground. Now, all of you people that live in municipalities, this is a prime example of one of my top Dutchisms, get out of the cities. You can have the greatest stash in the world, and you're not going to stop some neglected underground feed of fuel or mutant. Well, I wouldn't be mutants. Lou's yelling mutants over there. There are mutants that live below the surface. I know that. What was that? Underground cannibalistic. What was that? Chuds? Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. But this was just an explosion. Just an explosion, and it was on the north side of San Francisco. It's over there by like Martinez and a couple other places where the refineries are. And what was it called again, Stace? People are asking.
San Bruno.
Yeah, thank you. Stacey's in the chat room. Okay, stop hitting microphones, whatever that noise was. Something just went banging. But 1,000-foot fireball. They said it looked like a nuclear bomb went off for some of the witnesses. And now they're saying today that it was natural gas. Well, Stacy said, well, you weren't there, you didn't see it, you don't know. That's true. But I have my suspicions and I have my healthy mistrust of the government and corporations. So either way, it's bad. I mean, a corporation had a problem with their pipeline and it took out 40 homes and then damaged how many others? It was dozens of others. But yeah. Actually, 40 homes are now gone. There is a crater. I'm going to try and find the... Can you find the... where you posted the article, and you could put it in the chat room for people. I'm trying to find it here where you posted it, Stace. Because I don't know. You did it on Yahoo? You didn't post it on Facebook? I thought you posted it on Facebook so I could find it.
No, Simmons.
Okay, you think you did? Okay, because if it's posted there, oh, man.
Yeah, they were saying it was like 100 feet, and then another said it was like 1,000 feet.
Yeah, first reports were. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. The government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Dutch Jones,
Dutch Jones radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Who the hell is that?
Well, that wasn't very funny. Well, we just had a collapse of the system. They don't like me talking about explosions in San Bruno. And after 12 minutes into the show, we got dropped. So we are back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Let me know in the room when everybody's back up. Lou, make sure everybody can hear me. I'm typing some emails. I'm getting email from listeners. Let's see. Let's do that. If you're getting emails from me right now and they're abbreviated, it's just because I'm answering so many of them. They don't have the usual greeting and closing. I'm just answering your questions. I thank you for sending me emails, but I get so many now that... In fact, I'm sending so many emails just to ask me to verify that I'm a human. I hate it when Yahoo does that. I have to put in some widget thing. And the 4VJ3T6 so that they'll send the email. Because as I'm talking to you, I'm answering email questions. No, it wasn't the wrong... Well, it's saying there was a problem. The character string you entered was not the character string shown. So let me see what happens here. I'm trying to send a simple... Okay. N, capital F, small s, small u, the number 47, capital L. Okay. Let's see what they do now. If it goes through... Yeah, it went through. So if you're getting email from me, it doesn't mean I'm mad at you if I'm not putting, dear kind listener, yours most cordially. It's that I'm just getting so much. I'm just answering questions to catch up. Because quite honestly, I took the day off. I just wanted to get through the day. Tomorrow we got a lot of work to do. And I just wanted to take a break today just to build up some energy for tomorrow because Saturday is a work day around here. But we're back. Is everybody tuned in, Lou? Okay, good. And you're supposed to let me know. But we're back. We were, huh? Oh, as long as only Ma can hear me, that's all that matters. I'm getting email from somebody else that's on another show. That's weird. First, hey, wait. Isn't First Amendment Radio the one that we left?
Yeah.
So somebody from First Amendment Radio,
Stella
Oatman, wants me to listen to her show on First Amendment Radio. She's filling in for Greg Szymanski. That is funny. So someone who's listening to my show right now, thank you, Stella. She's associated with that Granada forum down in L.A. or something. She sends... It's kind of weird that one of their new shows, or somebody filling in for Greg... Who's Greg Szymanski, Lou? Is he one of the white supremacists, or is he... Oh, I thought you... Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm ready to shake a few folks out of their fear and into more conscientious reality. Well, that's great. I encourage new shows. I just think it's funny that one of his hosts sent me an email. Watch this. I'm going to reply. Here. Nicholas... banned us so we can not listen. He hates competition. okay, I don't know how to spell competition. ITION, is that right? Does that look good? Oh, no red line. All right, sorry. So that's good. I've never met Stella Oatman.
That's the vest.
Yeah, that's the vest that... and if you're listening, I don't know, is...
Carla, she's in there. Hi, Carla.
Is Carla's in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you link that? Just post that link so her dad can see that vest. Does it have the price in there?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, figure out what, you know, we'll email you the price, but I know that Chuck wanted to see that vest. It comes in different colors, too, but we're going to send you the link through the through email, but right now we can do it right now in the chat room so you can take a look at the vest we were telling you about. I'm a little discombobulated right now because of all this shifting and breaking and stuff, but okay, but I find that very funny that somebody would from First Amendment Radio would actually send me an email saying that they're listening right now. They're probably guest 84474. I'm glad there's a listener that's not in the chat room too. Oh, that's somebody through Facebook then, or MySpace, or one of the other outlets where it's been posted. So that's good. Yeah, we'd love to listen to your show. We're banned. We can't listen to anything from First Amendment Radio. They blocked our, what's it called, IP address, Lou?
Yeah.
All that weird voodoo stuff that they can do there. So, boy, so we're back. So we were talking about San Bruno just exploding. Some of the stories are pretty horrendous. I mean, one lady said she grabbed her kids, went out the front door. The front lawn was on fire. Flames were shooting up through cracks in the ground. Ran out the back door. Same thing in the back. She had to run through the fire. Got to her car. The car was melting and drove it through. And if you look at the pictures and the testimonies of people, they're saying that there's nothing left but foundations and things like that. Oh, that's weird. Carla's saying there's some kind of delay in the posting. That's okay. I think the internet, like when we get bumped off, I think it's just a high usage issue over the satellite system, and you broadcast servers maybe getting kicked in the teeth a little bit. But on a Friday, this is a pretty good number of people. Usually we have 5 or 6 people in the chat room and then about another 15 to 20 listening on peripheral things just by the email comments I get. I'm judging that because I have no way of knowing if they're listening on the peripheral stuff on a Friday. So I want to welcome you all here back on a Friday. And some things we're going to talk about today, Friday, again, I keep saying this, Friday's a casual day, Tuesday's a casual day. I'm kind of laid back today a little bit. We do have a couple articles to talk about. Of course, the Quran burning thing. It's on again, off again, on again. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to set fire to the Quran or not. We're still going to do one tomorrow. We're going to either try to find one or we're just going to print a couple pages up. What was it? Surah? Is it called Surah?
Surah
2 through 9. We think we'll do those. Those are the most violent ones. Yeah, I'm sure we're not pronouncing it right, but good. That would be magnificent. And then find the double. He wanted to look at the double drag bag also. I don't know if you can find that. It's a two-weapon case where it zips up and it's long and you can drag it. So, Stacey, we're trying to do some business here while we're on the air because we are hurting financially. I mean, some people complain that I hit that dog too much, but we got $94, so that'll pay for the internet, but we still have to pay for the soundboard. We still have to pay for the electricity. We didn't even pay for the electricity last month. We still have $40 on last month's electricity. We got to do that as soon as we get some money. And then we got to pay for this month. So all kinds of stuff we got to do. So, let's see, what else is there? What were we going to talk about? The explosion, stuff like that. Okay, getting my mind focused. Lou ordered off of, was it a Cold Steel?
Yeah.
Lou, I wanted to talk, I don't know if it's ordered yet, but yeah, Lou, we've been watching Man, Woman, Wild, which is, I don't even know which network it's on, but Lou downloaded a bunch of them and we've been watching them. Yeah, that's the one we're looking for. Minuteman's tooling in there. That's the exact one we're looking for at Majors. That's our only major supply. Stacy's online right now on Voodoo Tactical to find that, to post that up there for people to look at. Great, great deal. And I don't know what our price is going to be because we don't have the catalog here, but you can look at it, and I can tell you that it's going to be a few dollars less than what Major sells them for. That's all I can guarantee you. It may only be $5 less, but you'll be getting it from us, and you'll be helping us out.
Is it this one?
Yes, that's the one. Let me take a...
Yeah,
it is. That's it. The ultimate drag bag. See how you can put two weapons in there?
Yeah.
That's it. So go ahead and post that one, too, so people can take a look at that. I apologize for doing business during the show, but we got to do something, or we're not going to make it. So in lieu of commercials, Stacy's going to step in here and start promoting her water filters.
I'm trying to buy a tap and die and some WD-40.
I'm sorry, but we don't have tap and dies in WD-40. However, I do have some liquid wrench and a broken tap and die I can send you, whoever that was.
No.
Oh, we need to get those up on our...
What?
Store.
What on our store?
The vests and the drag bags.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we can have Lou do that.
That would be easy for...
Yeah, and then people could see them. More products, the better. Minuteman, you're not one of the people that needs to keep sending in stuff. You've already sent in all kinds of stuff. No, we can get the price, Minuteman, but thank you. I just don't know what the wholesale... We get the wholesale price because Stacy's got her business license, and then we just add a percentage to it for, you know, to try and make a little money. Yeah. Lately, we screw up, and we don't charge enough for shipping and handling and stuff, so we got to sit down and really, really think through it, but thank you, Minuteman. Minuteman, by the way, if it wasn't for Minuteman, we wouldn't have our connection with Major. So, we need to thank a listener, and he's more than a listener. He's a friend and supporter of the show, an official member of our church, kind of, the Dutch Jones extended family, and also El Doctor, who got us hooked up with selling the water filters that we sell, which, like I just said, we sold one. Do you know who bought it? Do you know who bought the one? What country? What city?
Tennessee.
It was someone, a listener in Tennessee, bought one, so we want to thank you for doing that. That's going to help. I mean, we only make like $20 on those, but it's still $20 we didn't have yesterday.
Yeah.
And so that's a great thing. I love a free market. You know, we're not trying to make $1 million. We're not trying to put Lou through Harvard or Yale, you know. We're just trying to get by, and we sell these things. But anyway, back to Luke. We've been watching Man, Woman, Survival. Highly recommend it. Man, Woman, Wild. It's an ex-Special Forces guy and his wife, who's a British newscaster, who's kind of prissy and screams and yells a lot. But she does better than your average city-dwelling female. I have to give her that. But he carries a Gurkha curry. And if I'm pronouncing it wrong, that's too bad. I've been calling it that my whole life. Lou called it a gherkin kurka, or what did you call it? A gherkin, like a pickle. But this is the knife, the traditional knife of the Gurkha tribesmen. It's been used forever. I used to buy them when I was a teenager from, like, Brigade Quartermaster or those kind of magazines. And for it's under 20, it was less than 20 bucks, wasn't it? It's like a, it's between a knife and a machete. It's very big. It's curved with a heavy blade. Very similar. If Luke can find the link, he could put the picture up. Very similar to a Spartan sword, but shorter than that. Used by tribesmen in this one village in India, a very good knife. During World War II, it struck terror into the Germans because these guys were able to sneak into the fighting positions and cut people's throats. It was carried by the Indian police for a long time. Rumor was it was really good for cutting off hands and heads. I don't know if that's true, but it is a lethal weapon for survival. It's wide enough to be a machete, but it's also short enough to be a good defensive weapon. I don't think a machete is a good defensive weapon. People may argue with me. Lou and I have tried to come up with a machete fighting system, and it just seems to be mostly offensive. When I try to get defensive with it, it's too hard to manipulate in close quarters, and I usually end up cutting myself or whacking off a limb. And they are a pain to sharpen, Minuteman calls in there. But these things are amazing for survival situations. You can whittle down bamboo. You can do all kinds of stuff. So Lou's going to get one, and we're going to try it out. And it's actually Cold Steel.
Yeah.
It's a Cold Steel brand, which I highly recommend. The Gurkhas were amazing. They had to be a certain height for the British Army to use them, and they were just vicious, vicious fighters. I heard a ding-ding there. I don't know. We're getting... Okay. We wanted to talk a little bit about survival knives today. And one thing, and I'm sure Minuteman, the classes I've taken for Minuteman when he's been over here and checked out his stuff, you get what you pay for is the general rule for knives. If you're going to go out and buy one of those $9.95 Rambo knives made with, like, what is it, 420 steel, Lou? And you know, they're shiny and they got a compass in the handle and they got some fishing string. It's not going to hold an edge. It's not going to survive at all in the wild. It's not made. If that's all you can do, I understand that. But you've got to have at least one good survival knife. I'm not talking combat knife here yet. We may talk about that a little bit later in the show. But you need a knife that is going to stand up to a beating, is going to hold an edge, and is going to be a dedicated survival knife. You don't use it to open boxes at home. You don't use it to go out and whack on shrubs in front of your house so your neighbors don't get mad at you.
The guy from that knife fighting video, Cold Steel.
Yeah, the Cold Steel video.
Talking about those two guys that were in a knife fight. One of them used it for everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The people who... It was a Cold Steel knife fighting video.
Yeah,
if you use your knife for everything, it's not going to be sharp when you need it. Because it's not just... It doesn't have to be sharp enough to just cut flesh. What if the... because people will think, you know, oh, because Lou's kind of talking about knife fighting. We didn't want to get there yet. But you don't know what kind of gear you're going to be cutting through to stop an assailant. But in a survival situation, you want it to work. And most people will tell you this. Anybody that's ever worked with knives, dull knives cut more people than sharp knives. Because you have to use undue pressure. You have to force things through. In a survival situation, you may violate those rules because it's a survival situation. Like, I've got an Air Force Ontario knives. It looks like a K-bar, but it's, and I bought it for $38 at a pawn shop because it's old, but it holds a really good edge. I don't know. It's got a really high carbon steel. It's not 420. It's better than that. It's got a sawback on the back with a big old nut on the pommel. You know what I'm talking about? I went out and it came with a terrible sheath. It was rotting away. I went and got a, I think it was from, I can't remember where it was. It may have been from Majors. I got a new certain, you know, like the Air Force full cover-up nylon cover with a leather sheath inside. That is my survival knife, and I keep a stone with it, a sharpening stone with it, and I don't use it for anything else. I don't open cans of peaches for Lou with it. I don't go out and hack limbs off for kindling when we got to start a fire here. I leave it alone. And it doesn't have a case in it where you can hide everything, although the way the sheath is set up, I could put other stuff in there because, like I said, it's got a nylon cover to keep it clean and everything. But you want a good, probably 6 to 7 inch blade. You don't need a great big old Bowie knife. We were selling these tactical spatulas, which were giant machetes that actually, picture a triangle in your hand with the big end away from you and then a wooden handle and then a hook on the back of it for grabbing vines and pulling them down and cutting them. And those were good too, because like with the Gurkha, if you had to, you could cook on it. Although treating a blade to flame is probably not a good thing, but if it's a survival situation, that's what you do. You know, you got to get through that momentary until you self-rescue or rescued by professional rescuers. So keep your knife clean. Let's see, if you find a good knife that you would like, buy two, rotate them so one is always sharp and ready to go. That way you'll be using it for, you'll be used to it for everything. Okay, that's what Minuteman said. So if you find a good knife that you like and you have the resources, that's a good advice. Buy two of them. That way you get used to the weight and handling one for everyday stuff, and then you keep one isolated. And he's saying rotate them. That way you inspect them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I am terrible at sharpening a knife. I have the big old oil stone. I have whetstones. I have these little gimmicky things that you drag across it. And I can get them utility sharp. I can't get them razor sharp. A regular listener to the show, Rabbit, who's one of the pod people because he works at night and he sleeps during the day, his father, Jimmy, can take it. He'll see me. He'll give me your knife. DJ, give me your knife. And he'll... And the thing will come back and it'll be sharp enough to cut hair off my leg, you know, or off Lewis's legs, you know. And that's saying something. And... I can't do that. So the second thing is learn how to use a knife, how to take care of a knife, to oil it, to put it away properly. I remember there was a house across the street that one of our people from the church had lived there, and he stored it up full of stuff. He moved away, and he decided he's never coming back, so he gave the house to some kids. But first he told people from the church, hey, go through there and get all my survival gear out. Get all my gear out, and you guys can divvy it up amongst yourselves. And, you know, I may even pay you guys to clean it out because we got to get everything out of there. Well, the guy was like me. Everything was cluttered. I took one of his knives out of the bottom of a toolkit, and it had somehow moisture gotten in there. The blade disappeared, and it was a K-bar. I was so sad I about cried. Remember that, Lou? I was just like, no. You don't remember that day? Boy, that's sad. Hatchets, everything. We're going to talk about hatchets, knives, machetes, all the roles that they play in survival. Hopefully, Minuteman will give me a hand there. We'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back for 3 more half hours.
Fine children, dragging fathers from their bed. What's the scene of helpless mothers? What's the blood fall from their heads?
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly march on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and
and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones. Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Stop making such a big deal out of it.
Somebody's got to make a big deal out of it. Not sure your comment there, Lou. But, let's see, what are we looking at here? Oh, I'm just reading stuff. I had commented yesterday on American soldiers going out and killing people for hire in Afghanistan, and people get mad at me when I say I don't support the war or the troops. There are individual troops that I like, and I wish they didn't have to go do that. But people get really mad at me when I do that, and I got a bunch of email on it. let's see. And then everybody's saying, well, maybe they were trumped up. I don't know. I don't like the idea of our soldiers going over to Afghanistan, learning how to subjugate civilian populations and do urban searches of weapons house to house. And just bugs me. I just can't support the troops. Sorry. I support those troops that have infiltrated the military and that have told me personally that they're not going to obey unconstitutional orders. Well, who am I? I'm Dutch Jones. We're back for the second half hour. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from the belly button of Central California. Outside the, literally, looking at, well, I gotta move the curtain here. Somebody close the curtains. Opening the curtains here to look at Sequoia. Look at that. That's $1 million view right there. Sequoia National Park. That's the church, but that's Sequoia National Park. Above the church. Stacey's like, no, that's just the church. That's still $1 million view. You can barely see the church because of the shade and the greenness of the church. It's a little green church. If you've been to the website, you'll see a picture of the church that Stacy took on the website that Lewis put up. But we can see Morro Rock from here. It's a beautiful place. And we just love where God has placed us right now. We sometimes question, you know, what our role is in the cause, the holy cause of liberty here, but every day I just get it reinforced. It gets reinforced to me that we're doing the right thing here, doing the show, doing the outreach, doing the training. And I don't know if I told you guys yesterday, we're talking about entering, there's a Christmas parade that goes on, and we're going to enter a Kauai militia float, we decided yesterday. And then coming up, there's a fundraiser for the local public cesspool system. We're going to donate a 72-hour survival pack from the Kauai militia, and also a valued at $300, an official Dutch Jones assessment of your house for criminal and disaster threats. for free. And it's, we're going to see if people go, Kuya Militia. We thought it'd be a great way to get it out there. But that's what we're doing. And I got to say it all the time. The views expressed by me, Dutch Jones, or the person playing Dutch Jones, it really isn't a Dutch Jones. I got to remind you guys of that. I told you yesterday, it's just because my real name is so hideously disgusting. I don't even think you can pronounce it in English, but it just sounds terrible. You have to rip out your tongue to pronounce it.
Something like this.
Yeah, yeah. My last name is kind of like Van, as Stacy says. But we just the views that I express are not necessarily the views of the Church of Kuya, its pastor, or the people sitting in the pews. Okay, you guys got to get that. Stop sending the pastor emails if you don't like what I say. He just laughs them off. They'll be like, hey, DJ, what'd you do? And I'm like, well, you know, and he'll say, I got to hear that show. Download that show for me, because he doesn't have internet that's fast enough to listen to the show. And I'll pass it off to him. He goes, well, I don't know why they're complaining. I agree with that 100%. A good show. You know, he'll give me feedback. He listens to the show on disc. But anyway, we were talking about survival weapons, knives, hatchets, machetes, those types of things. And we were telling you that Lewis has ordered a cold steel Gurkha, which surprised me because everything cold steel is expensive. And it was 16 something through Amazon.
$600 for the high.
The high quality Gurkha?
The best
Gurkha they make is how much?
$600.
$600. So you're going to get one made out of aluminum. What's the difference between the two, Lou? You don't know. We'll have to, and there's no way we're going to be able to do a compare. We should write them. Yes, we'd like to compare on the radio your $600 Gurkha versus your, can we get a free one to test it? Yeah, why don't you send us two? Send us two to do a stress test on your $600 Gurkhas. Now, on the show, Man, Woman, Wild, I'm sure he's using the $600 Gurkha. Probably has a GPS in the handle and an RV that folds out. Maybe a satellite dish or something. Yeah, Lou's going to get the link for the $600 one. Stacy's looking for him, too. But a Gurkha knife would be a great... It's not very small, but you could attach it to your pack. You could put it over your back. It comes with a leg sheath. You could do that. But I've always found the smaller utility knives are a good survival tool. You want something stout enough that you can use it to chop wood or bone or something if you're processing an animal to eat. And you want something, you know, it's like, I love these survival shows where they show somebody digging with their knife, and they always say, you shouldn't be digging with your knife. Well, if it's all you've got, you're going to be digging with your knife. You're digging a shelter, a fire pit, so you need something that will withstand that. And a 995 Rambo blade, you know, with the fishing gear and two matches in the handle is not going to work. I've gone out and bought the $8 Walmart shovel, and they break. You get what you pay for in survival tools. Short-handled axe, a hatchet, a saw, a limb saw, anything you can get that's lightweight and efficient, you've got to balance it out because it's going to save your butt in the long run. I'm sorry to be so graphic about your body parts, but that's what it will do. A good saw will help you process game that you catch. If you can cut limbs, you can cut bones with it. You know, you got to make sure the blade's not just going to go. And the one thing I hate, like on those Rambo knives, on the handle they'll have, when you unscrew the cap, they'll have a little saw, a cable saw. They never work. I've never had a cable saw that I've got, that I've ever bought, you know, because I only buy the cheap ones because I'm, you know, poor. I've never found one that works. They always break. I've seen the ones that are modified chainsaw blades with handles on them. Those work. But they're bulky. They're heavy. But the string ones, let me get back in the chat room here and see if anybody disagrees with me on that. But they're not that good. They're just not that good, so you get what you pay for. Gerber makes a nice little folding tree saw. It's about an 8-inch blade. I have one somewhere. I don't know what happened to it. I have a Gerber one laying around somewhere. I got to find it. We're living out of boxes right now. And that thing worked. I've taken it camping with me. I've used it to collect firewood. I've used it to build shelters. A Gerber tool. And I say Gerber tool, but generically a multi-plier of any kind. I really, really like those. I prefer the Gerber tool. It's what I started with. It's what I have. They have a little blade on there. Not great. If you're cutting a great big limb, it's not going to work. But if you're doing smaller diameter stuff just to make a shelter, a fishing pole, a spear, very good. I prefer the needle nose to the blunt nose. That's the key right there. For needle nose, it comes in far more handy for removing things that poke you in the night or removing a fish hook from a fish. Blunt nose are fine if that's what you have. That's what I happen to carry right now. It's the police stole my needle nose. And the reason I like the needle nose is they protrude enough into a point, you don't even have to open them to make a good strike weapon if you had to. But the first thing you should do, if you're in a survival situation and you're not the top of the food chain, you need to fabricate some kind of weapon that is not your survival knife. Do not strap your survival knife to the end of a stick and go, me make you spear. Because you're limiting the use of your survival knife, and you're putting it on the end of a stick. Take a stick, whittle it down to a point, and then harden the point in the fire.
Use the politically incorrect phrase.
What's the politically incorrect phrase?
Make a really big shiv.
A really big shiv. Yeah, so you want something that you can walk with, you can manage, use for self-defense. Like I said, if you're not at the top of the food chain, you can collect food with it, that kind of thing. But don't strap your knife to the end of a stick. They show that. I've seen survival knives where they go, oh, well, we put these holes in it so you can make a spear. Why? Are you going to throw that? You never throw a knife anyway. I love all these people that practice all these throwing things. You're going to, let's say you've got that Gurkha Kirky that's $649. You're going to throw that? Really? You're going to throw that into the brush? You're going to throw that at an enemy who may just deflect it, pick it up, and use it against you? You're going to throw your K-bar? You can throw a stick. You can make another pointed stick. You can make 6 or 7 pointed sticks and carry them everywhere. Your survival tool is a tool to make other tools. And that's the way it should be. We talked about short-handled axes. The older survival manuals, I just gave Lou a survival manual from like the 1880s. It's a reprint, of course, not authentic, but I found it in the library here. And everything in there you do with an axe. You make snowshoes, you make a shelter, you dig a snow cave. Short-handled axe. Those guys, you see those old pictures and they go camping, they got big wooden crates. You know, they got the Model A's and that. And in the older days it was, you know, pack mules to carry everything. That's fine. It's fine. Let's see. We just talked about that. Obama the wannabe says, man, woman, wild, laugh out loud. If you watch the guy, he puts his knife in the fire to sterilize it. Way to ruin the hearting. I had mentioned that. That if you use your blade to cook on, you're gonna ruin the temper of the steel, I think is the official term there. But in a survival situation, you do what you got to do. But yeah, you can ruin a knife that way. Those are the things that I need to learn. You know, like Lou knows, oh, that's 440 steel. Oh, that's stainless steel. I don't know. 440 is probably not the very best, but that's probably the very best you get for a cheap knife. Saturday nights? It will hold an edge. 440 will hold an edge, Lou?
Well, that depends on the
knife. Yeah, depends on the knife. I love watching the Smoky Mountain Knife Works or the Knife Show on cable. You get like 50 knives for $100 or whatever. Those are really neat. They're good utility little knives. But would you count your life on a $2 knife? Would you depend on, you know, what's the word? Would you bet your life on a $2 knife? But we've got a bunch of them laying around. We've got them everywhere in our little survival kits. Because a knife is a knife. At least it's something. It keeps you from having to tear things apart with your bare hands. But a good sturdy knife is the best way to go. Small hatchets. You can do a lot with a hatchet to build a shelter, to defense, to digging, to cult, you know, to tearing up the earth a little bit, softening the earth, to put a fire pit in or dig a fighting position. But you're going to want a shovel for that. If you think you're going to use your knife for a shovel, get a shovel. Gerber has a good shovel. You can get surplus shovels. But again, the weight. Well, you know, the weight versus the utility of it. But I can tell you, everything that I can do with an axe in a survival situation, other than falling a giant tree, you can do with a really good shovel. You can put an edge on a shovel. You can have a saw back on a shovel and use that as your saw. You can dig with it. You can jab with it. Huh? Well, yeah, great example. The Spetsnaz training videos, but see, again, I don't like throwing, but they use their shovels like tomahawks. Yeah, they you can split a man's skull open with a shovel if you had to, but then, you know, I'm talking more survival now, not knife fighting. We'll talk about that in the second half hour. But a shovel could be all you need. You worry about hurting the blade, you can cook on a shovel. I've cooked hamburgers on a shovel because we forgot to pack a frying pan one time. And I was so furious because I told the ex, I said, your job is the cooking, mine's everything else. You make sure everything's packed. We get way out in the middle of the desert, far from everybody. There's just two vehicles, and we didn't have a frying pan. She remembered the hamburger, the meat, so that was good. So I just broke out the shovel. I had a tri-folding military NATO type shovel, and we just cooked on it. And people, well, you ruined the shovel. I didn't really notice that it hurt it at all. I used it for years after that. But it was a great, you know, I could cook two hamburgers on it. It was kind of hard to flip them. I was afraid to lose them, but it made it kind of fun. But a shovel's a really good tool, folks. An excellent tool. It kind of crosses over between all that stuff. Now, machetes. Talking about a full-on machete. Yeah, we have two machetes. We play with them mostly. Lewis and I play, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean with them and stuff, and we run around clanging them. Harsh pirates?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, harsh pirates. I don't get the harsh part. I don't get the joke. I'm sorry. They're meaner than the real pirate. We're meaner than the real pirates. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, we're meaner. We are meaner than the movie, but we're not like real pirates. But the machetes are good for that. You can process it. You know, you can't get inside and do all the gutting and everything with the machete, though. So then that leads me to the other thing: a tiny pocket knife, like a buck knife, or you know, a knife with good blades, say two or three blades, like a sheep foot blade and a gut hook on it. That knife can go a long way. A little pocket folder could be a great survival knife, especially if you're gonna snag an animal with a snare or beating it over the head with a club that you whittled out of a tree. You've got to be able to gut them. So you need a good knife that you can work inside the remains of an animal. You can't butcher an animal with a 19-inch Rambo blade. You can't. You can't. If you can do it, more power to you. I don't know of anyone that has done it, but if you can use a machete and butcher an animal, I'd like to see that video. A tiny little 1.5-2-inch blade knife. When we were doing the chickens, the turkeys, and the rabbits here, was it chickens, turkeys, and rabbits? I think that's all we did. One of our members of our church, Ro, showed up with just this little tiny knife, and we've got one in one of our kits, and I'm trying to find it because I want Lou to sharpen it, because Lou found this commercial sharpener that seems to be working real good. And then he found one of my, from when I was like 6 years old, he found my knife when I was a little kid that my dad gave me. It's just a metal-handled simulated wood. It probably cost 50 cents at the time. And but a single little blade like that, you sharpen it, you can do a lot with it. What?
Any sharp.
Yeah, any sharp. You can, you know, just drag the blade across two different things. That led me to... Oh, someone said in the chat room, Carla. Welcome, Carla. Stacey's been talking to you. I haven't said hello yet. You could always learn to make your own knives. I know there's people up here that go to a knife maker. He makes them out of files. Now, there's something about the steel and the files that's very hard. It holds an edge, of course, because it's a file. Yeah, they do it in why would they make a knife out of a file in prison? Oh, they learn how to make shivs in prison. Yeah, Lou should make a prison shiv video. He's been really studying prison shivs lately.
Yeah, it's scary.
But this guy up here in the Central Valley, I mean, we're talking for a couple hundred bucks. You give him a file, and he makes a very excellent blade. I could never afford that, but files are good for making knives out of. You guys should learn flint knapping. I know that sounds freaky and tribal. But if you're in an area where there's lots of obsidian or chert or any of the materials that are good for it, you may not have a knife, but you may be able to use some rocks to make a primitive tool. Now, that's Murphy's Law. You get out in the woods and you got nothing, but at least to have an understanding of how flint knapping works. Now, I've taken big obsidian rocks that I found, smashed them, and just picked up the cast-offs, and they will cut through a leather boot. It's probably sharper than I've been told that it's sharper than any steel knife or iron or whatever, or what would be the alloy knife that you could make. Just like ceramic knives are extremely sharp, obsidian knives, they still I'm trying to think of the name of the rock, not pumice, and it'll come to me later, but they still make scalpels out of them in Europe and Russia. So that's a good idea. Carlo, learn how to make a knife. Learn how to fabricate it out of something you have. Obama the Wannabe says keep a small second knife for eating, etc. Yeah, I have a NATO. It's probably one of the last things I kept from the military. It's an eating kit. Very soft metal, but it's got a blade. It's got a single-edged blade, if you know what I'm talking about. Instead of having two edges come to a point, it goes to one side. I sharpen it, and it's got a fork and a knife on it, a corkscrew. I never understood why the military gave us corkscrew knives. Or are they planning on someday giving us, you know, wine or, you know, because even if we win a war, we're supposed to get champagne, right? You know, but we haven't won a war since World War II. But something like that, yeah, something that you can eat with, something that's utilitarian. Hobo keep a small knife. What?
Hobo knife.
Oh, excellent. Hobo knives. Lou brought that up. A hobo knife. You know, they have the spoon and the fork that fold off. Yeah, Lou, get a link. Show that up there. That's a good point, Lou. Excellent. A good hobo knife is a great knife to add to your survival kit, and you know, just a little blade. I mean, you need like a 2.5-3-inch blade for processing food, cleaning a rabbit, cleaning a, you know, you can clean a deer. You can, my father had a 3.5-inch trade knife that he traded like green stamps for or something, and it was his pride and joy. He skinned everything from cows to cats with that thing. And it was fine. I mean, he kept it sharp. He knew how to sharpen adequately. And he'd sometimes give them to his brother to sharpen them for him. That's probably why I never learned to do it, because I don't think my dad knew, because he showed me everything else he knew. Or knows. He's still alive. It's not like he's dead. A tiny blade. I love these guys. You see them. Like right now, I'm wearing a my utility knife that I carry is a Walmart Winchester knife. I think they're $9 now. I bought it when it was $5. The sheath has since fallen apart, so I'm wearing it in a different sheath that I found. And it's it's sharp. I just sharpened it on an oil stone. I don't spit on them. I don't do that. I put oil on there. But it's got a simulated wood handle, fake little rivets in it, and it says Winchester on it. But this knife is everything I need. I use it for opening boxes. I use it for all the other stuff. Because I told you, my survival knife on my web gear, which is what I grab running out of the door with my 72-hour pack, is I'm not using that to break chicken bones or anything like that. I try and set it aside and save it. I don't want to nick it. I don't want to drop it in the dirt. I don't want to, when I go to need it, have it be dull, dull, dull. Guys, I hate to do this to you, but this is going to be the only hour, I think. Something's going on right now that I need to take care of, and so I'm not going to do a second hour. So when Liberty Tree Radio jumps in, like they did, we'll just repeat this. And I promise you, Monday we'll get to the rest of it. But I don't know, something's going on weird here intestinally, and I don't think you're going to be able to do the show. But I want you guys, when we come back Monday, we're going to talk about knife fighting stuff. I see we only got about 4 minutes left. That's why I'm telling you right now. Knife fighting. We're going to talk about our limited knowledge of it. Lewis and I study some of it. Yeah.
And you're sweating.
I got a fever. I don't know what's going on. It's like all of a sudden, I don't know, that something I ate today or something. Yeah. I'm clammy. I've got continued health issues, and I don't want to whine on the air about it, but just pray for my health issues, please, and for my VA doctors to figure out, you know, what they're going to do. I'm still going to keep fighting. I'm not going to give up, but there's just stuff going on that I don't want to. It's kind of, I don't know. Anyway, I don't even know how to approach it. I'm not one of those guys that likes to complain too much about his own personal situation. The knife fighting issue, I carry, and we'll talk a little bit about it now to get you primed for Monday. I carry a Gerber folding razor blade knife for two reasons, and I don't have it on me right now. It must have fallen out of my pocket. It's in the recliner. But I usually carry, and the reason I like it is I don't have to sharpen it. It was $10 at Walmart. You can always put a new razor blade in it. And when we took the, was that a two-day or a three-day class? Two-day class that we all took as a family on knife fighting. Defensive knives. It was really offensive. It was like, you know, 18 ways to put somebody in the morgue with a blade. I was the last one to go. We had pig shoulders. Everybody got up there with their Rambo knives, and they were doing these cuts. And I walked up there, and I flipped out my little tiny Gerber knife, because I've had knife fighting classes before, and I know what a razor blade will do. I made a deeper, longer cut, because I had already known how to apply the blade and optimize the blade, and I filleted this shoulder open. And the instructor goes, hey, you see, everybody was kind of laughing when I opened it. He pulled out, and he had the same knife. And, we're talking maybe a 2-inch blade on a box opener, box cutter. And this little Gerber, it looks like a money clip. Nobody notices. It's polished stainless steel. That's what I carry as a defensive knife, you know. And honestly, I've got this knife on my hip, but I would pull that out in a minute because nobody's going to see it. And we'll talk about the strikes that you can do. I mean, what's realistic. But my first rule, the Dutch rule for knife fighting, is don't get in a knife fight. Period. I don't want to be on the ground with somebody. I don't want to be poking and jabbing. I'm not one of the three musketeers. You're going to get, you get contagious hepatitis. And knowing what I know about what you can do in about 4 seconds with a blade, your life's over. And if I have that knowledge, I guarantee you that all the freaks out there on the street have at least studied some of it. I mean, they're at least as much diligent. What if you got two knives? And all of the defensive videos we see, There's like loopholes in everything they do. How do you fight somebody that's coming at you with a knife? What are you? Oh, the different martial arts. What are you pointing?
Luke, give him the microphone. I can't hear. Oh,
well, it's okay. We're not supposed to hear him today. I'm just repeating what he says. He never speaks loud enough for the microphone to work anyway. But yeah, all the different martial arts, all the knife fighting and everything's in there. You come up against somebody who knows what they're doing, it's better just to shoot them. Somebody made a joke earlier in the thread here in the chat room, just bring a gun to a knife fight. So we're talking about that Monday. I'm not going to come back. I don't see Ed in there yet, but if you guys stick around, somebody tell him. I gotta make a run for the porcelain deity here in a minute. And but we'll be back Monday. We'll talk more practical stuff. So be praying for my health, please. I've got some really weird issues going on right now. Be praying for the ministry here. If you haven't made a donation this month, please do so at the website, dutchjones.tk. We will be back Monday. Remember to burn your Quran tomorrow. We'll tell you a little bit about we're going to do it. Tomorrow we're going to do it, even though everybody else told us no. But we are going to do it in our little open fire pit here. We'll just sit around and roast marshmallows over it. I don't know if that'll taint the marshmallows. But I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Ed, I see you're jumping in there right now. Ed, just go ahead and repeat this hour. I can't do a second hour, so please just repeat this hour. It was pretty good. I think there's 15 minutes missing at the beginning because we had a dropout. But I'm going to bail right now because I can't do another hour for physical reasons. And I will be back Monday. Remember, Monday we're going to be talking about actual tactical defensive knife and offensive knife. To go in conjunction with our survival knife discussion today. Thanks for listening. I'm Dutch Jones. Remember, the sword is heavy. See, there you go, knives. The battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And the only cause of liberty is a holy cause of liberty. And if we don't involve the Lord and rely on Him completely, it's not going to work for us. So from picking a knife to planning a battle, be coram Deo in the face of God. We'll be back on Monday. And you guys have a good weekend. Burn your Korans and be ready to talk about it on the air on Monday on how it went. We'll be back Monday.